scarves. The men in trousers cut short at the knee and waistcoats fastened over full-sleeved shirts. Swarthy-skinned, their demeanour was quietly watchful. They did not speak much to those in the village, or indeed to us, but in hushed tones amongst themselves. Less than an hour before, the two old women in the group had washed and prepared Babalenka's body for burial, after which the water used had been carried out to the farm's well and tipped away. They stood out there in the frozen yard, heads bowed, muttering in a foreign language that carried on the wind. The men then joined them to form a circle, and with heads thrown back, they began a strange kind of ceremony, calling and wailing into the wind. We'd watched from the farmhouse kitchen window. "What are they doing?" I asked my mother. Silently, she shook her head, narrowing her eyes at the screeching, cawing birds overhead. We had arrived the day before. I was 7 years old, cold, miserable and hungry. Babalenka had been my great-grandmother, but I'd never met her, nor did I understand why we had to come. Spring was about to burgeon back home in England, snowdrops and crocus shivering on roadsides, sunlight chasing clouds across the school playing fields. She was 96, they said. Even my mother had never been to Rabenwald. It was freezing, the air biting, cobbles glistening with ice, and towering over the valley were mountains so huge they stood like giants with their heads in the clouds, the blue light of the snowy slopes ominous, eerie, deadly. If only this were all over, that we had never come here. Babalenka's farmhouse didn't even have running water. We'd arrived late yesterday afternoon to find the kitchen cupboards bare, except for mouse droppings, and all the mirrors and windows had been covered with black cloths. It had the feel of a church crypt, and if it had ever been a welcoming home, it would be difficult to picture that. In the grim half-light, with the wind rattling the windows and whining down the chimney, my dad tried to get a fire going, and my mother chipped at packed ice outside to get water for the kettle. There was an all-pervading chill in that house, which once experienced could not be shaken, the kind that gripped the bones and iced the marrow. Mould spotted the wallpaper, damp coated the woodwork, and frost glazed the glass. As evening plunged into the black of night, my mother's footsteps creaked up the old staircase to where we would have to sleep, the wind screaming like banshees around the eaves, candlelight flickering over the walls. I trailed behind her, shivering. But on reaching the landing, she caught her breath, and we both stopped to stare. Babalenka's bedroom door was ajar. We saw then what we didn't want to see. The deathbed, soiled and sagging where her body had lain, decaying for weeks and weeks on end. The room had been stripped of all possessions. Tide marks left by her bodily fluids had stained the sheets dark yellow, and the sour stench of terminal disease cloyed the air. As we stood on the threshold, the sound of howling wolves echoed from the woods, and the noise of the wind intensified to violent and insistent. It seemed so very much louder up here, as if it was gaining in strength. Hypnotized, I couldn't look away, the alpine coldness seeping under my skin. Suddenly, catching me totally off guard, I was in the old lady's mind, lying there in the bed, dying in my own filth, with a throat caked dry. Silvery lights streaked through the curtains, and a murderous vixen screech rent the night air. The whole room was rumbling and juddering. The house seemed to shake on its very foundations, the floor tipped sideways,